אנחנו לומדים בספר
תורה. We're reading from Zohar for All. The vision of Rabbi Chiya. You can find the text and send us your questions at kab.tv. We are in item 50, the vision of Rabbi Chiya. Item 50. Rabbi Chiya rose and was walking and crying. And Rabbi Yossi was with him. He fasted 40 days since that day to see Rabbi Shimon. He was told, "You are unworthy of seeing him."
Meaning, not to that degree. You cannot reach that degree where he is because he has departed, meaning he's gone higher up, and you are in your degree, and your efforts for time being cannot help you in this. Yes?
He wept and fasted 40 more. He was shown Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Elazar, his son, in a vision, engaged in this thing that Rabbi Yossi said in the name of Rabbi Shimon, and several thousands were listening to his words. In this agony for the beauty that has withered in the ground, he craved to see Rabbi Shimon's degree because he had decided that Rabbi Shimon did not wither in the ground.
Well, it's not a matter of fascination or curiosity that someone can think that if it comes to correct the stony heart or not. No, it's a matter of not able. Well, for example, also that's also not right, but somehow that he's not capable of coming to agreeing with the state of Rabbi Shimon who has not reached it. Meaning he's so adhered and so respecting and so much loving his Rav that he's not capable with agreeing with him not coming to the final correction. Yes.
51. In the meantime, he saw several large and high wings, with Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Elazar atop them, rising to the seminary of the firmament. And all those wings were awaiting them. He saw that Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Elazar were renewed in their brightness and illuminated more than the light of the brightness of the sun. The upper seminary is the seminary of the Creator, and the seminary of the firmament is the seminary of Matat. Wings are the angels that assist the souls in rising them from one degree to another. And as the soul needs the assistance of the wings for the ascension, it needs their assistance in bringing her back to her place. And all those wings were awaiting them to bring them back. He saw them returning from the seminary of the firmament to their place, to the seminary of Rabbi Shimon. They were renewed with the brightness of the light of their faces, and they illuminated more than the light of the sun. 52. Rabbi Shimon started and said, "Let Rabbi Chiya in, so he may see how much the Creator will renew the faces of the righteous in the next world."
That's what Rabbi Chiya sees, that Rabbi Shimon is saying that about him.
Happy is he who comes here without shame, and happy is he who stands in that world as a pillar who is strong in everything. Rabbi Chiya saw himself entering, and Rabbi Chiya rose, and so did the rest of the pillars of the world who were seated there. They rose before Rabbi Chiya, and he, Rabbi Chiya, was ashamed and entered. He dropped himself and sat at Rabbi Shimon's feet. Rabbi Shimon hinted to him, "Happy is he who comes here without shame." He also saw Rabbi Elazar and the rest of the pillars of the world that they were without shame. But Rabbi Chiya himself was ashamed because he withered in that dust and did not have the strength to overcome them. He was ashamed and went in, dropped himself, and sat at Rabbi Shimon's feet. 53. A voice came out and said, "Lower your eyes, do not raise your head, and do not look." He lowered his eyes and saw a light that was shining far. The voice returned as before and said, "The hidden and the blocked upper ones, whose eyes are open, who roam the entire world, look and see. Sleeping lower ones, whose light of the eyes is blocked in the holes of your eyes, awaken." After he obeyed, lowering his eyes and not raising his head, he was rewarded with hearing this herald, for which he obtained all that he sought. The hidden and the blocked upper ones, whose eyes are open, who roam the entire world, look and see. Sleeping lower ones, whose light of the eyes is blocked in the holes of your eyes, awaken. The herald awakened those souls that obeyed the words of Rabbi Shimon, those who were there and those who were not there. The herald went out to all the souls of the righteous and divided them into two classes. 1. Holy upper ones, who are hidden and blocked, who are rewarded with opening of the eyes and with roaming the entire world. He called upon them to look and to see, to extend the upper lights together as one with the second class. 2. All those camps that go and are expelled after the Creator and His divinity go and are expelled from His divinity. He calls them low ones, sleeping, whose light of their eyes is blocked in the holes of their eyes. He called upon them to awaken. 54. Who is so wise among you as to turn darkness into light, for whom the bitter taste as sweet even before he comes here while he is still alive in this world? Who among you awaits the light each day shining when the king visits the doe, at which time the glory of the king increases and he is called the king of all the kings of the world? And one who does not accept it each day while he is still in this world has no part here. The herald emphasizes the essential merit that is desirable in each class. 1. To the merit of the first class, he says, "Which of you turns darkness into light, for whom bitter tastes as sweet? These are the souls of Atzilut. In Bia, God has made them one opposite the other, darkness opposite the light, and bitter opposite sweet. Hence, in the Torah of Bi'ah, there is fit and there is unfit, pure and impure, forbidden and permitted, holy and secular. But the Torah of Atzilut is entirely the names of the Creator. There is nothing secular there, since there Lavan the Aramin is deemed a holy name, and so does Paro, Pharaoh. Also there, all the names that are Klipot and Tum'ah, impurity in Bia, are only holy names, sublime. It follows that those souls that have been rewarded with the light of Atzilut turn every darkness into light and every bitter into sweet. 2. To the merit of the second class, he said, "Which of you expects each day the light that illuminates while the king visits the doe, at which time the glory of the king increases, and he is called the king of all kings of the world. It is they who roam after divinity, who sits alone, and who always awaits for the Creator to raise divinity from the dust. And one who does not await that each day while he is in this world has no share here.
Questions? Yes.
What is this thing of the shame that he? What is this thing of the shame that he tells us at first when he entered the seminary and he was ashamed? What is it all about?
Shame. He is receiving the ascent of a degree, which he has not yet merited, but rather it was done only by the illumination, the awakening from above, because he was in restrictions and fast 40 and another 40 days. And that's on one hand, and on the other hand, there is a gap between him who's entered now and the state in which he needs to be, as he sees how Rabbi Chiya in that degree, which is him, but in the corrected one, in which he's standing, meaning he's standing erect, Chabad Chagat Nehi, he's in all the ten sefirot, and from what he's receiving in order to bestow, also the others are receiving, meaning he's with them. Well, I don't want to interpret this also. He's in connection with them, in contact with them as the components of the same degree. Whereas Rabbi Chiya, that he himself, that is now ascending to that state, and is also ascending all in all after his efforts of and actions of restriction and in prayer, not yet in his work, in that he's really merited and rewarded the ascent. So he's in a degree in which he's only merited to observe it from the side, not to enter even into contact with them, because there's Rabbi Chiya of that state and there's Rabbi Chiya of the state he's not quite in yet. Meaning, he was entered into that degree, but not at the expense of himself, seemingly. And then the gap between this and that is that there he's standing and here and attaining on his own the revelation of the Creator and is bestowing from himself to others. He's there with them in togetherness. Whereas here is as coming and sitting by the feet of Rabbi Shimon, that's also a very great degree. Meaning, as he was rewarded in connecting to his teacher in the right way. Yes.
How to turn this shame into a lack for bestowal? How to turn this shame to appreciate the degree where he is sitting by Rabbi Shimon, to reach from one level of Rabbi Chiya to a higher level of Rabbi Chiya?
It is not shame like in our world. Shame does not need to be corrected. Shame needs to be respected, because it is a result of the revelation of the Creator to the creature, and as it is help to the creature, and the creature loves this feeling. It's not that he I don't know how to say, everything for us is in the vessels of reception, but shame is a good feeling. It's not that it's bringing me good, that's clear, but it itself is opened to a person that wants to advance It opens a field, a new field. It's all in all the feeling of a lack of adherence in the revealing vessels. What could be better? Well, let's continue.
55. In the meantime, he saw many of the friends around all the upright pillars standing, and saw that they were being raised to a seminary of the firmament. Some were ascending and some were descending.
And that's Binayin Malchus from Gar Vatsilus, yes?
And above them all, he saw the winged one, Matat, approaching. While the herald was calling, he saw several of the souls of the righteous, who belonged to those two classes. Around all the upright pillars, the souls of the righteous were already in the seminary of Rabbi Shimon. He saw them rising to the seminary of the firmament. Some were ascending and some were descending. Since the first class ascended and the second classes descended, this is why it was said some were ascending and some were descending, as this is how they assist one another, following the calling of the herald, who said to the first class, "Look and see." And to the second class, he said, "Awaken." He saw that by the awakening of all those souls by the two classes together, Matat came down from this seminary to the seminary of Rabbi Shimon and took the oath. And above them all, he saw the winged one approaching and took the oath. Since above them means the same as through everyone, and the winged one is Matat. 56. Angel Matat took an oath, which he heard from behind the curtain, that the king visits each day and remembers the dough that is lying in the dust. At that time, he kicks 390 firmaments, and all are startled and frightened of him. And the king sheds tears for the divinity being in the dust. And the disks are as boiling as fire and fall into the great sea. And by the power of those tears, that appointee over the sea called Rahav stands and exists and sanctifies the name of the Holy King. He takes upon himself to swallow all the waters of Bereshit, Genesis, and gather them into him when all the nations assemble over the holy nation and the waters dry out and pass through the land. He takes an oath that the king visits each day and remembers the dough that is lying in the dust. She is the holy divinity. Although it is not referring to the whole of divinity, for there was no need to take an oath for that, since it is open to all. Rather, it is referring to Malchut de Malchut, which Rabbi Chiya believed was captive among the Klipot and was left completely alone. He wept and said, "Dust, dust, how obstinate you are. How obstinate you are, how insolent. All that is coveted by the eye withers in you. All the pillars of the light in the world you consume and you grind. For this reason she is called a dough that is lying in the dust." And here, this great secret was revealed to Rabbi Chiya through Matat when he came to the seminary of Rabbi Shimon, since he took an oath that the king visits and remembers the dough that is lying in the dust each day. But in the same way that Matat gradually elucidates before us, at that time he kicks 390 firmaments, and all are startled and frightened before him. The Zivug Da'aka of the upper light on the Masach is regarded as the upper light kicking the Masach. meaning that the upper light kicks and wishes to permeate below the boundary in the masach. The masach, in turn, detains it and reflects the upper light, and this reflection is the Or Chozer, the reflected light, that rises from the masach from below upward, clothing the upper light. It is 390 firmaments, because the masach is called the distinguishing firmament, and includes four bechinot, chub, tum, within it, the four letters havaya. And since Malchut was mitigated in Bina, the Masach is in Bina, and the Sefira Bina is implied in hundreds. It follows that those four Bechinot in the Masach, Chubtum, add up to 400. However, there is no zivug on the malchut of the bottom hay, since she is the blocked gate. For this reason, the 100 of the sefira of malchut, the bottom hay, is regarded as lacking the 10 of the malchut there, having only the first 9, which add up to 90. This is the hint in the masach called firmament, on which the upper light mates in a zivug de haka'a, which is a kick. There aren't 400, but 390, with 10 missing, malchut de malchut. This is why he calls the firmament 390 firmaments. It was said that each day he kicks in the 390 firmaments during the zivug with the divinity, to elicit from the dough that is lying in the dust who is deficient there with respect to that zivug, for she is 10 who are absent from the 400. And all are startled and frightened before him, due to the striking of the masach on the upper light with tremor and shudder, out of fear that he will receive more than his boundary. And the king shed tears over it. The mochin at the level of chokhmah.
Okay, this is already starting to be a deeper explanation. Questions? Well, we'll start with overseas.
Yuval from Ocneam says, after the workshop, we're reading the Zohar. It is felt that the workshop preparing us for the reading of the Zohar. How can we sharpen our intentions while reading the Zohar out of the strawberry sphere that is created in the workshop?
That depends on the person. That's the work each one has. I can hear what we're reading and to be only in the story, just as I read some novel and then I'm inside this novel. But when we read some novel, we are in it in an emotional manner, truly as if you're in it, and together with the hero, you're carrying out the actions. You're running, traveling, coming, talking, doing whatever, going through different states. And here the question is different. By you reading the story, story, let's say, awakens you. Do you try to be as close possible to this story, and as much as you work in this with your desire, and other than that, as much as you are aware of what you need to change in order to be in this? It's work. Look, also in our world, if you read some adventure story, then it awakens you to, let's say, go to some kind of trainings and to prepare yourself for some special trip or travel to, I don't know, climb mountains or something. So the same thing here could be. If we're talking about the text and how it awakens us emotionally, there are texts that emotionally almost don't operate upon us at all, where it's talking about all kinds of technical discernments, though the truth is that they're even more emotional than these internally, because they don't close you in some picture. But, you know, it's, let's say it this way. I read, how do we say, a partiture. It's a
tibuy.
Oh, a notation of certain. Okay. So, in short, when I read, it's like a musical notation, and I look at it, and I have, la, 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 la. I'm reading it like that, because I know each note and all the signals and the signs, and they're going like this, crescendo, and this is the purest, because if I give it to you to play it, you are playing yourself. And I, as I'm reading it, I'm reading myself. It's clear, yes? So we need to understand from this that this is how we need to relate to the story that Kabbalists wrote. You need to enter into it and read it and to hear it in your kilim, in your vessels. But you can say, but there's one between us, they put some guy in, and he's reading. There's a friend. But maybe he's spoiling it. If you unite with him and with everyone, you are reading in the most true manner of yours, because you are uniting. That's how we need to read the Zohar. All in all these texts. Yes, Owen.
You mentioned a few times the connection and the relationship between Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Shimon.
Rabbi Chiya was a great student. He wrote the whole Zohar, and it was really a close degree to Rabbi Shimon. A student cannot be greater than the teacher, because it's in cascading from above down. And later, they all unite and all that, but this hierarchy till the final correction remains. What happens onwards, I don't know. So therefore, he's drawn. What does it mean? Rabbi Shimon departed. What does it mean that he departed? It means that he went to a higher degree. It's not that he died or lived. We're not talking about discernments of this world. We're talking about people who are attaining the true form of reality, not what we're seeing in our bodies. So he wants now to come to be drawn after him to that degree. Now, the question is, in him, about dust. Well, right now we have to already go into the next lesson.
Just one word. What is the condition to adhere to the teacher like Rabbi Chiya is adhere to Rabbi Shimon?
It's to nullify, first of all. First of all, it's Ibu, and then Yenika and Mukhin. Let's move to the next part.
Moving on to the next part of the lesson.